In for Jeff. The light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious. She honked her horn, screamed obscenities in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her makeup and her cell phone. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on the window and looked out to the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door, and she was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects in hand. He said, "I'm sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, making lewd gestures to the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. And then I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." A 2007 study by the Academic Journal of Science indicated that humans speak an average of 16,000 words per day. The study found that the difference in the number of words spoken by men and women was negligible, with women speaking about 16,200 and men 15,700. The study, though, contradicted a study the previous year by Lou Anne Bresdin, who was the founder and director of the University of California's Women's Mood and Hormone Clinic. Her book, which was called The Female Brain, claimed that women spoke 20,000 words a day, nearly three times the mere 7,000 that men speak. Now, I don't want to get into that debate. I'll let you husbands and wives go home and sort that one out. But let's assume for a moment that we only speak 10,000 words a day. In that case, every 5 days, enough words come from your lips to produce a 200-page book. That's every 5 days, so that's 73 books a year. Now, you can do the math on how many books you would fill in a lifetime. Of all the words you've spoken, but how many of those words would you say you spoke carelessly? A lot of them? Now, that's sobering when we consider the words of Christ in the text this morning, that on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. What does Jesus mean by that? There are two important principles we need to consider. So if you'd open your Bibles to Matthew 12, beginning in verse 33. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 33 through 37, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, People will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Verses 33 through 35 tell us that our words reveal the state of our hearts. Remember the context. Jesus had just addressed the Pharisees who had committed the unpardonable sin by rejecting the evidence provided by the Holy Spirit through the miracles of Jesus that he was indeed the Messiah. Jesus was able to pronounce judgment upon the words of the Pharisees precisely because he knew their thoughts. Verse 25. In other words, Jesus knew that the Pharisees' words of blasphemy reflected hearts of blasphemy, and he was therefore able to pronounce their final judgment in advance. The principle is stated clearly in the second half of verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, as I've stated it, our words reveal the state of our heart. And let me tell you something, that is a scary proposition. Nearly every Sunday in the fellowship time, something gets spilled. Often someone says, well, it's just coffee. I mean, that means that there's going to be no sticky, sugary mess to clean up, and we can just grab a paper towel and soak it up. But you know what? We've never had anything come out of those cups that wasn't in them. I know that's a heady statement. Whatever's in the cup, whether it's water or coffee or tea, that's what comes out. In a similar way, Jesus says that whatever is in our heart is what will come out across our lips in our words. When something jostles you or upsets you, words come out of your mouth. It's because they're in your heart. They're in your heart because you put them there. We often say words that are meant to comfort, like, well, God knows our heart. We're often reassured by thinking that although our actions and words may have been wrong, God knows our heart and that our heart is good. Well, I'm sorry, that is not what the Bible says. Jeremiah 17:19 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Jehovah God responded, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give to every man according to his ways or according to the fruit of his deeds. See, biblically, it's not such a good thing that God knows our hearts, especially with what comes out of it. And it certainly wasn't good for the Pharisees in Matthew 12. In verses 36 and 37, our words will be the basis of our judgment. Here's where it gets real serious. Jesus says that we'll give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word we speak. How many careless words have I spoken? Just putting this sermon together, I thought, you know, this is probably as much for me as for anyone else. If you're 20 years old, consider you've accumulated nearly 1,400 of those books filled with your words. If you're 40, then you can imagine a library of nearly 3,200-page books containing the words spoken so far in your lifetime. And if you're 60, nearly 4,500 books have been written with your words. Jesus says in verse 37 that our words will either justify or condemn us. We need to realize no matter how careful we've been with our words in our lifetime, it's more than enough evidence right there to condemn us to hell forever. If that's the final word, then we're all hopelessly condemned sinners. But I like the glimmer of hope of justification that is hinted in verse 37. In studying some commentators, a lot of them use that word, that gospel word, justified, in a technical sense to refer to an acquittal in court. And that's certainly true. But I think there's at least a foreshadowing of justification that comes through the word of faith, which Paul talks about in Romans 10, 5 through 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, and the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Those verses state the same truth in a positive sense that the verses in Matthew state negatively. Namely, your words reveal the state of your heart, and your words will be the basis of your judgment. But here we're told that the belief in the heart that is confessed with the mouth results in being justified, in being saved. So there is hope for sinners whose hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. There's hope for sinners whose words should result in eternal condemnation. The hope comes from the fact that there was one who lived a sinless life. As the Apostle Peter, one who knew Jesus, said, he committed no sin. Rather, neither was deceit found in his mouth, because he was sinless in his words, and yet suffered in our place for the punishment we deserve for the wicked words and hearts. And we can be forgiven, justified by one word, the word of faith. Isaiah tells us in chapter 53, verse 9, that they made his grave with the wicked, and a rich man in his death. And although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yes, he was crucified, died, and buried, though he was the spotless Lamb of God. And his death was not for his sins, but for the sins of all of us who had put our trust in him. The words we speak and use, much like ideas and actions, have both positive and negative consequences. God tells in his word that the tongue has incredible power. We can use the tongue to bless and to curse, to bring life or to bring death, to build up or tear down. You see, in the beginning, God spoke, and those words were good. But sin entered the world, and the heart changed. In conclusion, I want to reiterate the fact that our words reveal what's in our hearts. Words originate out of the root, the treasury of the heart. Our true selves, good or bad, it's revealed by what we speak. Scripture tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the power of the tongue is described in Scripture very clearly. The old saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, is partially untrue. Words can be deadly. Words have power. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And words can condemn or justify us. We must be careful what we say. A word spoken can never be retrieved. I've heard people say something harsh and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. No, you don't. You spoke it. It came out of your heart. You can't take it back. Words are energy. When a word is spoken, that's energy. That energy does not dissipate. It's there. A word spoken can never be retrieved. And words can come back to haunt us. And we will give an account for them someday. See, I believe God gave us two ears and one mouth for a good reason. We ought to be listening twice as much as we speak. And when we speak, we should let no unwholesome words come out of our mouth. I was reflecting on my life. And in that reflection, I thought of all the stupid, hurtful jokes that I have told throughout the years. I can't take any of them back. But thank God that I am under the blood of Christ. Okay, and He paid the price that I should have paid for Him. On the back ledge and on the piano, there are some bookmarks. And some of you have seen a post that I made. And that bookmark is a bookmark that's called Think. T-H-I-N-K before you speak. And I should say, or write, or post. I have seen so many erroneous posts on Facebook that aren't true, and somebody just blindly reposts them. Check it out. Find out, okay, if that's true. But think. Think of it as an acronym. T, is it true? Is what you're going to say, write, post, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Sometimes that's difficult to do. N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? So you're welcome to get one of those bookmarks. And by the way, there's a pair of glasses that were on the chair that's on the piano also. Ephesians 5:4 says, let no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And Proverbs 13:3 tells us, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Consider your words carefully, because we're going to answer for every word. And I don't know about you, but at 70 some years old, 6,000 books worth of words, I'm sure I have a lot of carelessly spoken words. We all regret those kind of things. But as we choose our words, we need to remember that those words are formed in the heart. Those words come out of the treasury of the heart. And sometimes we say things and we think, boy, that was stupid. Well, what's in the treasury? In Scripture, it talks about a man who was cleansed from a demon. And the demon goes out into dry places. then he comes back. And he goes back to the house where he came from and finds the house cleaned. A vacancy. So not only does he inhabit the house again, but he brings friends with him and changes the treasury of the heart. But what if after the house was cleaned, it had been refilled? It had been refilled with positive and encouraging words that come from right here. The demon couldn't come back. If you were to fill that house with the Word of God, again, I just urge you, consider your words very carefully. Your words will condemn you or they will justify you. I thought today, as we think about funerals, we've lost some people. And I thought about how many times have we wanted to tell someone we love them, we wanted to give someone an apple or a silver box, and we didn't do it. We withheld those words. And then, all of a sudden, it can be too late. It can be too late to give that gift of love. Make sure you give it now. Make sure you give it now. So as we reflect on this a little bit, hopefully it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that the words we speak have such tremendous impact on those we interact with. And let us choose our words carefully. Gary?
Thank you, Charles. Chuck, two friends. We're just going to close our service this morning. I love, it's been mentioned before, I think, when the last team was up here last Sunday. It is a joy and a privilege to be up here and listen to the congregation voices singing the doxology. And it almost sounds like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in a sense, but not quite that good. But we're going to close with this again. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above you, Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's stand, shall we, as we close our service and offer praises to our God. Amen, through the doxology. That sounds like it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
Father, we come before you and we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us something to put in our treasury, that we can hide your word in our hearts. And Lord, that we can speak peace and we can speak comfort and we can speak encouragement. Lord, give us the strength to share your word. And when we do speak, to speak with kindness. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together in this alien gathering. Father, thank you that we can be around those who are like-minded, who encourage us and we can encourage. We give you praise. We give you honor. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying thus, you shall bless the peoples of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So as we go through this week, may we remember God's peace in everything we do. Thank you.